הסקט ושמע ישראל, היום הזה נהיית לעם להשם אלוקיך. These famous words that we read this morning throughout the Jewish world in Parshat Ki Tavo are very strange. How exactly did we become a nation only after 40 years? We've been together for such a long time. From the 10 plagues in Egypt, to the beautiful redemption from it, to everything we went through in the desert, Ma'amad Har Sinai. And yet, the Pasuk says, Hasket Ushma Yisrael, listen, O Israel, today you have become a nation. Indeed, the Gemara believes that the most important way to explain it is to interpret the word Hasket, which we don't find anywhere else in the Torah. And says the Gemara, in Masechet Brachot, page 63b, Asu kitot kitot, Hasket from the word classes. Make classes ve'asku b'Torah, and be busy with Torah. Lefi she'ein ha'Torah, lefi she'ein ha'Torah niknet ela bechavura. You can only acquire the beautiful teachings of the Torah if doing so in a group. Very nice. Chavrusa is important. But the Gemara here goes one little step further and says, Cherev, a sword, al soneihem shel talmidei chachamim, sheyoshvim bad bevad ve'oskim b'Torah. There's a sword at the entrance of someone who learns alone. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I would walk around our beautiful city this afternoon and would see people learning on their own instead of wasting their time on Shabbos afternoon with other things, I personally, not knowing this Gemara, would be the happiest man in the world. They're learning Torah. They're not engaging in other behaviors. What could be better than that? So why is it that the Gemara says that the Torah, namely the Jewish lifestyle, either learning it or practicing it, is only acquired in a group? I'm not sure how I would have interpreted this Gemara during the BC years, before Corona. But now that hopefully, Yemirtza Hashem, we've passed those terrible years and the pandemic that changed the world is somehow under control, Be'ezrat Hashem, I believe that I do have an interpretation to it. For too long, almost 2.5 years, we were obligated, morally, ethically, and halachically, not to be with one another, not to engage in social interaction. But as we approach Rosh Hashanah of Tav Shin Pei Gimel, as we stand at the edge of beginning Slichot towards it, I believe that there is nothing more important, nothing more crucial, than to start engaging with one another again. As the Gemara says, Ein HaTorah Niknet, Ela B'Chavura. Because if you think about it, for the next few weeks, we are going to be together in this room far more than usual. First of all, we're adding Slichot. Slichot is not at the time of Shachris, Mincha, or Ma'ariv. It's added to it. So already in our schedule, we're going to be in this room for one more added tefillah. Number two, all the Yomim Tovim this year come out on a weekday. So if during the week you daven in this minyan or that minyan on the train or on the way, Monday, Tuesday, Rosh Hashanah, a Wednesday, a Yom Kippur, a Monday is Sukkot, a Monday is Shmini Atzeret Simchas Torah. And finally, even on the days we're usually here, the davening is longer. We added already from Rosh Chodesh to David Hashem Ori. Pretty soon we're going to add things to the Silent Amida, Zachreinu Lechayim, Michamolcha, Uchtov Lechayim Tovim, and Besefer Chayim, not to mention Avinu Malkeinu. So any way you look at it, we are going to be together far more. The question is, not physically are we going to be in the same room, but rather do we have a relationship with one another. I tell my kids and my students, I have an ironclad rule to determine if someone has a relationship with you or not. If someone is not just in the same room with you, but knows you, cares about you, and has an ongoing interaction with you. I say, pretend he's not Jewish, but chas v'shalom, he's a guy. He's a non-Jew. And on Shabbos, something happened that warrants you hinting to this non-Jew to do something for you. And you go up to him, say, on a very, very hot day, not knowing him at all, and say to him, you know, it's very hot in this room. Do you think in your right mind he'll know that that means that's a cold word for him to put on the air conditioner? My word of honor, I've tried it. It doesn't work. But if you have a relationship with him and he knows what Shabbos means to you and approximately that you can't do this and you can't do that, and you tell him again in a hint, listen, it's very hot in here. I'm pretty sure his answer won't be, yeah, it's hot in here. He'll know exactly what to do. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our job this year. Because if we want to be successful in gaining repentance and having a wonderful, good year that God hopefully will bestow upon us, then we have to get to the level of a beautiful Tani Dibeliyahu that I just read this afternoon. I give my thanks to Rabbi J.J. Schachter Shlita, a revered teacher of mine, who I've learned so much from through the years and continue to learn from, who just put out through Koran a beautiful interpretation on Slichot. And in his introduction, which is beautiful in and of itself, he brings the following Tani Develiyahu. David HaMelech was very worried that there won't be sacrifices and will have no way to gain repentance. And he asks God, as did Avraham Avinu before him, how do my great-great-great-grandchildren gain repentance without korbanot? Says God, and I quote, David al titzta'er. Another way of saying, David, don't worry about it. Shekvar giliti sidrei slicha leMoshe. I've already told Moshe Rabbeinu what the Jewish people need to do in order to gain repentance. Ve'amalti lo, and I said to him, b'sha'ah sha'atzarot ba'ot al Yisrael, at a time when the Jewish people are in dire straits, like at this time of the year, where so much is at stake, ya'amdu lefanai yachad ba'aguda achat. They have to stand together as one union. And then say the slichot and I forgive them. Said God to David HaMelech, it's not enough just to say slichot. It's not even enough to be in the same room with people that say slichot. But rather, we have to, and I quote, stand before him, A, yachad, together, and B, ba'aguda achat, in one union. That's not going to be done if I am with 9 other strangers. Yes, we'll be yachad, but not aguda achat. And indeed, perhaps this explains the halacha that regulates our slichot. A good chunk of what's in this book cannot be said without a minyan, without the help of other individuals. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Tov Kuv Samich Hey Seif Hey, En Ayachid Rashay Lomar Shlosh Esrei Midot Derech Tfila Ubakasha. You cannot say the 13 attributes of mercy as part of the prayer service. You can read it when you read Parshat Ki Tisa, but you can't say it as part of the prayer service without people around you. Because the story of the 13 attributes of mercy, which is our way of gaining repentance, can only be done with the help of others. Because the Gemara famously says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan and Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yitzayin Amud Bet, that God said to Moshe, as this Medrash I just quoted alluded to, that God said, Kol zman she Yisrael chotim, anytime the Jewish people sin, Ya'asu lefanai kaseder hazeh, they shall do this particular order of the 13 attributes of mercy, v'ani mochel lehem, and I forgive them. The Shlah, the Ma'or v'Shemesh, the Chafetz Chaim, and many, many, many others say, it does not say in the Gemara to say the 13 attributes of mercy only, but rather to actually do them. Ya'asu lefanai, not yomru lefanai. How are you supposed to engage in being merciful, rachum? Being a person that's rav chesed, full of loving kindness to yourself. The only way to do it is with someone else. And therefore, at this time of the year, the halacha says, you want forgiveness? The agenda should be doing something for someone else. The agenda item that's the most important and crucial is not what you do for yourself. It's not your personal, private behavior per se, but rather, how much do you engage in what we say again and again and again in the Slichot of the Yud Gimel Midot? The Chafetz Chaim, as he usually did, has a beautiful story to illustrate it. He says a nephew was very poor and he asked his rich uncle for a job. The rich uncle acquiesced, gave him a job, and gave him a list of things that will be part of his job description. A month later, the uncle visits and asks his young, lovely nephew, how are things going? The nephew said, everything's great. Well, did you do what it says on the list? He said, of course. Every single day I woke up and I read the list. I read it so many times, my dear uncle, that I know it by heart. Here, I'll rattle it off. And he does, he rattles it off. Just like we can rattle off the Yud Gimel Midot. Says the uncle, that's beautiful. Did you do anything? Did you milk the cow? Did you take the eggs from under the chickens every morning? The nephew said, no. I read the list. Says the Chafetz Chaim, what are we, fools? Of course there's a list. There's a list of Yud Gimel Midot. But there's no importance in saying them if we're not going to do them. There's no importance in saying them if you don't have 9 people around you that you could think, what can I do for him? What is he missing? After 2 years plus of Corona, the time has come to start hosting people again. The time has come not to walk by someone on the street on a Shabbos afternoon and not even offer a nice smile and a good Shabbos. The time has come for us to start seeing the people around us not as functionary. Namely, I need them to say Kaddish. I need them to do Kriya Satorah. But rather, to see them as subjects. To see them as people that we have a relationship to. To the extent, as I said earlier, that if you hint, they'll know exactly what you mean, because there is the ongoing relationship. And thus says the Rambam, that because these are critical days, and God is judging us, says the Rambam, Hilchot Tshuva, Perek Gimel, Halacha Dalet, the most important thing to do this time of the year, the top of the list, is not saying Slichot, is not our relationship with God per se, but rather, and I quote, because of this, the Jewish people have the minhag laharbot bitzdaka uvemaasim tovim, to increase our charity and good deeds to one another. And only later on the list does he talk about the slichot, and does he talk about other such things. But the top of the list, the most important part of the list, the first item on the agenda is laharbot bitzdaka v'masim tovim. And that's indeed what I hope and pray will be our agenda. Namely, first and foremost, we start thinking what we can do for one another. And then we can safely come to this synagogue and start saying the Yud Gimel Midot with a minyan, because we have a relationship with those nine others. We have increased our tzedakah and maisim tovim towards them. And if we do that, not only will our slate be better, but our community will be so much more pleasant to live in. Just imagine if every person in this shul would know the name of the person that sits on the same row with them. Just imagine what it would be like if we're successful in changing the social fabric of the way we act to one another. If we're successful in doing that, then we have an ironclad promise from God. If we're successful in ensuring that we have a relationship with one another, a proper relationship, not a loaded one, then indeed, with God's help, we will be zoche to what he said to David HaMelech, Ya'amdu lefanai yachad ba'aguda achat, ve'yomru lefanai sidrei slicha, va'ani oneh otah.